And we want to read verse 21. And this evening we want to talk about this new man in Christ in his relationship to children. And there is a difference between the way the world handles their relationships and the way a believer is to handle their relationships. And it says in verse 21, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what? Lest they be discouraged." You notice here in this passage, verse 10, we have the old man being put off with his deeds and having put on that new man, this new humanity that is in Christ. This is the body of Christ, as in the corporate temple of God, and the individual believer who is a temple of God. And we are new creations in Christ Jesus. And because of that, there is this growing newness in our relationship to those that are around us, as well as a new relationship to God Himself. And so we saw here in our relationship to the Lord and to one another that we're to put on, verse 12, vows of mercies and kindness and humility of mind and meekness and long-suffering. We're to let, verse 15, the peace of God umpire in our hearts and our relationship with other people. We're to allow that word to dwell in us richly, verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And internally, we are harmonized with the Spirit of God, singing with grace in our hearts to who? To the Lord. And in whatever we do, in word, in our conversation, or our activity, in every area of our life, including how we eat, and what we drink, and where we go, and as we mentioned this morning, and clothing, and activities, and inward thoughts, and just the settlement of our spirit, every aspect of our life is to be under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to put on the Lord. We're to do all, verse 17, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. And that new humanity has a different relationship when you're talking about, verse 18, wives in relation to their own husbands. In the original creation, Eve, or Hua, was arranging herself under Adam. And now you have the restoration of that and the power of God associated to be able to arrange yourself under your own husbands as it is fit, as it is appropriate in Christ Jesus. As our new man, we have a different relationship with our wives. Husbands are to do what to their wives? They're to voluntarily, sacrificially love their wives. And don't be sharp or harsh towards your wife. And of course, that's an expression of our spirit coming through our tongues, one to another. And that new humanity in relationship to its rebirth in children. Aren't you excited children can be saved? Children, obey your parents in how many things? In everything, because this is acceptable. It is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Every child that has been born again by the grace of God has a desire to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Well, how would you do that? Well, you do that preeminently by what? Obeying your parents. Well, there is also a new humanity's relationship toward children. Now, our natural relationship with children can fall into two extremes. Neither one of these are healthy. One, an adult can act like a child because they want to be like a child. And you've seen adults do that. Take on those characteristics and, you know, they'd rather be with children all the time rather than being with adults and having the responsibilities thereof. And then there's the other extreme, where adults like what? What's their relationship with children? Seen and not... there you go. Okay, it's just Okay, move them out of my life because I have things to do. And you know, both of those extremes are wrong. Even the disciples. Here our Lord is having ministry. And people were bringing their children and their infants to the Lord so the Lord might bless them. How'd you like to have the Lord pray for your child right there? And the disciples got upset about this and rebuked the parents for bringing their children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord saw it and heard it. And He rebuked them. And He says, of such is the kingdom of God. Do not forbid this. They were forbidding it. And that is a lesson, isn't it, to every one of us. Sometimes it is real easy to get busy, isn't it? Lots to do in life. And there is a place where our children need to learn how to conduct themselves in life and with people being busy and responsibilities of life. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can be rather ugly at that point, can't we? And our Lord Jesus was never like that. He said, of such is the kingdom of God, bring them to me. And He would lay His hands on them and He would pray for them. He would bless them in the name of the Lord. The prohibition in Colossians 3, verse 1, is directed to fathers and is directed in their relationship to their children. And the command is for fathers not to provoke your children. Now, the word provoke here refers to an arousal in someone's spirit to respond in a certain fashion. You know, folks, how we conduct ourselves has implications for those that are around us. Now, you can get pious and say, well, everybody is responsible for how they respond in their own life. It doesn't matter what I do or I don't do, because if I sin against you, it's still your responsibility to respond what? To respond right. And if I don't respond, if I do respond well to you, well, that one's easy. And that sounds all good and pious. And that is true. We are responsible for how we respond to other people, regardless of what they do to us. But on the other hand, how we respond to people does have an effect on them. And we have that here in this passage. Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they be what? Lest they be discouraged. See, there's a response to the way you are relating to them. And in fact, the Scripture refers to this when it talks about, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2, it talks about the Corinthians and their zeal for that monetary offering. Do you remember that? And Paul says, your zeal has provoked many. In other words, their zeal for the offering, what happened to those other churches? They said, boy, they're zealous about this. We better get on board and we're going to be zealous about it. Did the church's behavior affect other churches? Yes. And can our individual behavior affect other people? Yes. In fact, not only can our behavior have a positive aspect with people, but I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Our behavior can have a negative aspect also. I just want you to see this. We're not going to expound it. But the Corinthians were glorying in their liberties, especially their liberty to go to an idolatrous temple and partake of the festivities there. And so Paul says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 8, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a what to them that are weak? So our behavior can become a what to other people? A stumbling block to other people. In fact, he says, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians, If any man see thee which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through your knowledge shall your weak brother, what's the term? Perish. In other words, folks, our behavior can have a destructive impact on other people. And of course, what is true in a broad sense between brethren is also true in our homes, isn't it? How I treat my wife, does it matter? It does matter. Not only for myself and my walk with the Lord and my fellowship with the Lord, but also those what? Those in my home. Does my wife's relationship to me, does it matter? Does it matter whether or not she is submissive? Does it matter whether or not I love her like Christ loves the church? Does it matter? Yes, it does matter. Does it matter about our children and being obedient? It does matter. People are watching. And dads, moms, it does matter how your speech and activity affect your children. Now, we don't want to irritate our children. We want our speech to be edified. We don't want to tear them down. We want to what? We want to build them up. We don't want to put them in a position where they have to deal with anger and discouragement. What we want to do is put them in a position where they are free to love and grow and nourish and be nurtured. One of the tendencies for dads is to kind of shoot off the hip and to treat the children. You know, he's been at work all day and he comes home and he's got this mindset, you know, I'm home now and so it's my time. Okay? A lot of times ladies get upset about this because they never have such time, right? Because they live in their ministry. And here the man comes home and he comes down and sits, and guess who wants to curl up in your lap? Okay? Your son or your daughter. And every day you say, don't have time, don't have time, don't have time. You know what happens when they get to be teenagers? And now you want time? You've taught them all those years, don't have time, don't have time, don't have time. And you know what? Now they don't have what? Now they don't have time. We really need to be careful, don't we? And you know, as I sit here and I go back through these passages, I'm always convicted about my own bringing up of my own children. I wish I knew all these things back when I started. But now, maybe other people can profit from our mistakes. We want to move our children toward righteousness. Let me just give some examples. Here we are in church. And one of our children come up and interrupt you. Does that ever happen? Of course. Little children live in their own world, right? To them, everything centers around them. All right, number one, does the child need to be taught? Yes or no? Yes. Do we need to do it in an angry spirit? You know, see, all the kids said no. None of the parents said anything. You know. See, this is the children's time, see. They got the obedience sermon last week, okay? But you know what? One of the complaints that I hear from children, and I've heard it here, and I heard it in my other ministry, is that children will say to me, adults don't respect me. They treat me like a slave. Isn't that sad? You don't want to be treated that way, do you? And so here we have this relationship. How would the Lord Jesus Christ deal with a child? How do you think? Would there be times that he would have to discipline? Would there be times that he would have to be firm? Yes? Of course. In fact, the Bible says there's times that he scourges. But thanks be to God, they are rare. You know, most of the time, the Lord Jesus is very gentle and patient with us, isn't he? Okay? You keep going back and asking forgiveness for the same old thing. What does he do? He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Dads, can we be that way? When my kids were little, I thought, teach them one time and it's done. I don't know why I thought that. The Lord doesn't do that to me, and I don't learn it the first time, do you? And then if I do, there's always more to learn about that. Folks, be patient like the Lord is patient. Be gentle like the Lord is gentle. Be firm when firmness needs to be given. Don't irritate your children lest they become discouraged. Now let me give you six ways and things that might be helpful to us in this capacity. Number one, a father or a parent, a father must establish consistent boundaries for their children. I've run across children in their relationship with their parents, and they would say to me something like this: well, I never know what my parents expect of me. Now, parents know that there's always little idiosyncrasies that might change certain things, right? Little situations that might change how we would handle certain situations. But parents, as much as you can, convey and establish consistent boundaries for your child. You know, that is so helpful to them because then the child knows what to expect in their home and to expect in church. The Lord gave the law, didn't he? What did he say? Do this and live. Those laws don't change. It's always wrong to lie. Yes? It's always wrong to commit adultery. These are consistent boundaries that are helpful for us. Establish them in broad terms for your children. As they grow up, they'll learn that sometimes those things might have to be flexible, might have to tweak according to how things are going, but at least they will know what your expectations are. That they don't just fluctuate like the wind and they don't know how to please you. The Lord has given us a whole Bible on how to please Him. And He's consistent, isn't He? And so here in this passage, in verse 18, ladies, the Lord, if you're married, the Lord always wants you to arrange yourself under your husband. Amen? That's always true. You know what to expect. Dads, husbands, you know. There's the boundary. You are to be sacrificially loving to your spouse. Right? And you know that that's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children obeying their parents. Fathers not irritating their children unto discouragement. So develop consistent boundaries for your children. My children never got up on Sunday morning and said, are we going to church? And it just wasn't because I was pastor. You know? That was a boundary. And that's the way it was. That's a consistent boundary that is there. Are there any exceptions to that boundary? Well, if you're sick, right? Okay. If I have a car wreck, you know, and pieces of my bones are scattered all over the road, I might miss the service. Okay. But you know what children learn? They learn, okay, that's an exception. And they don't have any problems with that. But develop that consistent boundaries for your children. Secondly, communicate to your children what pleases you. I've talked to children And they will make statements like this: I never know if my parents are pleased with me or not, but I always know when they're not pleased with me. Now, parents, dads, are we quick to be negative? And aren't we slow to say, good job, that is fantastic? Lost people are very negative. They can strain at that gnat, swallow a camel. But in the Lord's house, showing patience and showing this sacrificial love, not only to your wife, but even to your own children, so that your children not only know the consistent boundaries that they're not supposed to cross, but they also know what makes you happy, what pleases you. Your child works real hard all afternoon to color that picture for you. You ever had this happen? And you get this picture and there's just squiggly all over it, you know? All over the place. And that child comes and out of love, right? They present you this picture and then you decide that you're going to use that as an opportunity to instruct them about line sequence and shading and, you know, all that needs to go on there. And you know what happens to that child? Instead of a smile, now they're like, they're discouraged. Learn to look behind the activity to see if it's rebellion or love. And sometimes they can be attempting to love you in a rebellious way. So be wise in that. Thirdly, dads, we must serve our children in Christ to build them unto Christ. We must serve them in Christ. You're still the dad, right? You're still the one that's been given the authority. But we must serve them in Christ in order to build them unto Christ. Number one, to be saved. Our children need to be saved. Nobody's born into this life born again. And they need to be sanctified. They need to be growing in the grace and knowledge. How are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to serve them in such a way that they are built up in the things of the Lord. You might just have to go to a child and wash their feet. You know what I'm saying? You might have to bear upon your own shoulders their transgressions in order to be edifying to them for Christ. And that can be humbling, because a lot of times when that happens, it happens in front of other people who don't understand. So we must serve our children just like I must serve my wife in Christ. How do I serve my wife? By sacrificially loving her like Christ loved the church. How do I serve my children? Well, I don't provoke them, lest they be discouraged. I don't cause them to be irritated unto anger, but I bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fourthly, parents, we must show compassion to our children in their problems. Do children have problems? You want to hear a problem? This probably happened in the nursery. Billy took my toy. Is that a problem? It is to that child. And you know what? If you came into my study and you did a Billy took my toy, but you couched it in adult terms, you probably wouldn't want me to treat you like you treat the child. Would the child need to be disciplined on how to handle that? Yes. And you want to do it in such a way that they are built up in the things of the Lord, establishing consistent behavior, knowing what pleases you, using the Word of God so that Word can go in there and bring forth fruit. But to that child, that problem is really serious. Billy took my toy. And they're watching on how you handle that. Because they're demanding justice. Yes? And here's a good opportunity to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ taking our judgment upon Himself and how to handle that. So we must show compassion. We need to be understanding. Children do have serious problems in their relationship with other people. Sometimes their relationship with you. And you might have to sit there and listen to some unpleasant things. How do you respond? As the new man in Christ Jesus. Fifthly, not only must they establish consistent boundaries, communicate their pleasures toward the child, not only must they serve the child in Christ to edify them, to build them up in the things of the Lord, not only must they show compassion, but they must also show firmness. Dads, it is the characterization of a dad to command. And that's why usually when kids want something, they don't go to dad, they go to mom. Okay? But we need to learn how to command in an appropriate way. Now let me show you why. Hold your place here and turn to the book of James. And look at verse 19. Now the context of verse 19 is church. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 19. The context here is church and preaching and the engrafted word. But this can be applied in so many areas of our life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear. Now that's true with sermons, isn't it? It's also true in relationship to our children. Slow to speak, slow to what? Why should we be slow to wrath? Next verse. Because my wrath is not edifying. Does everybody see that? Now there is righteous anger, isn't there? Sometimes, perhaps many times, depending on what kind of child you have, they need to see God's righteous anger. But folks, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. Do you know what the wrath of man does? It pours into other people's cup anger. It makes them what? It makes them angry. And so we must show firmness at times. We must also command, but we must also exhort. In fact, I would say the exhortation aspect of parenting is probably the most stronger aspect because that is the aspect that God Himself expects a pastor to do to you. There are commands up here, but you know, most of the time on Sundays when I'm preaching, what am I doing? I'm telling you what the Lord said and I'm exhorting you, let's what? Let's do it. Come on! And that's that aspect that we're to have with our children. That exhortative ministry. And then lastly, dads, you must humble yourself in their eyes. Many of you have seen this, but a lot of times when I go over to people's houses, I love to talk to the adults. But you know what I really like to do sometimes is get down there and play with the kids. Here's this 51-year-old on their knees playing Barbie dolls with Mercy, or, you know, one of the girls. What do you think about that? What do you think? That's humbling. I don't normally do that. But you know, the children think that's what? They think that's great. And I don't go home and when my wife's asleep, pull out my stash of dolls and start playing with them. If I did, my wife would be really what? She'd be concerned about this. But you know, getting down there and taking little building blocks with a 1.5 or a 2-year-old and building those blocks, and you know, they want to knock it down and they knock it down. You say, no, don't knock it down. You patiently rebuild it back up. You know what you're doing? You're laying the groundwork for future ministry. Because you're treating that child as if they are a respectable human being. I know this is hard to understand, but children are humans. They're not things. They're not tools. They're human beings, aren't they? And when they come and they want to talk to you, look, when you talk to a child, parents, adults, what do you expect? Here's what you should expect. That child to stop what they're doing. Look at you in the eye and what? And listen to what you're saying. Isn't that what you demand? That's what you would demand from anybody if you're speaking to an adult. All right, if they come up to you and they tug on your... Okay. Maybe you're talking, maybe you have to say, just 1 second. You know, you go back, all right, what do they want you to do? They want you to stop what you're doing, look at them in the eye, and do what? Listen to what they have to say. You say, yeah, but it's just blubbering. Well, you blubber sometimes too, and you want people to listen to you. They're human beings, amen? In church, we never want to be in a position where, number one, we cater to children, but we also don't want to be in a position where we are totally disregarding of them and treat them as if they are nobodies. They are human beings. They're the future of our congregation. And we want them to truly come to know the Lord. Now I want to close by just giving an exhortation to our children. Okay, so all you adults, you can go to sleep. Okay, children, you paying attention? This is my last point, we're done. Okay, you listening? You listening? Give your parents a break. Okay, they made lots of mistakes. Sometimes they're firm when they shouldn't be. And they're not going to acknowledge that while you're listening. And sometimes, and you know it's true, they're gentle when they ought to be firm. And you think, got away with them. Do you make mistakes? You make mistakes, Walker? Parents make mistakes. And the problem is we don't really know how to raise kids until you're grown up and gone. But even in our mistakes, it becomes an opportunity for you to learn how to relate to other people. Because other people make mistakes in their relationships. So children, know that it is a difficult thing for a parent to learn, now when should I be firm and when should I command? When should I be more firm? And when should I just be patient, understanding, and wait for a more opportune time when maybe the teaching would be more effective? It's hard for us to know how to do that. And I'll give you a clue. You know what you ought to do? I know you need to do this for your dad. You need to pray for your dad. Mercy, you need to pray for your dad. And we all know that the Hosner children need to pray for their dad. Amen? You need to pray Oh, Brent, I'm sorry.
You definitely need even more prayer.
Because this is a big job. And church, we need to pray. Because every one of you are having influences on every one of them.
As a body of Jesus Christ. Dads, parents, church, don't provoke our children. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, lest they be discouraged in their relationship with those who are in authority over them. Let's pray. Our Father,